www.fastnedcharging.com. Slide two. With reference to the information provided in these slides and discussed during this call, please take note of this disclaimer. We go to slide three. My name is Michiel Langezaal. I'm a CEO and one of the founders of Fastned. Niels Kortahls-Altus, our CCO, Victor van Dijk, our CFO, and Hugo Vink from Investor Relations are also present in this call. I will shortly elaborate on the highlights of the first 6 months of 2020. After that, Niels will take over and take you through the rationale of the Mr. Green acquisition. He will elaborate on other progress Fastned made as a business. Victor will be last and discuss the financial results. We aim to take roughly an hour for this call, including Q&A. Freedom to electric drivers. To start off with, slide four. To start off with, I would like to share with you the reason why I founded Fastned. One of the biggest problems we face as humanity is climate change, and cars with internal combustion engines are making the problem worse every day. I founded Fastned to make driving an electric car easier. Our goal is to build a network of 1,000 stations in Europe with the aim to accelerate the transition to sustainable mobility. We go to slide five. Highlights of the first half of 2020. As always, the market of electric vehicles has been growing rapidly, and the consequential demand for fast charging as well. We can see this effect clearly when looking at the 7.9 million euro run rate revenues for the first half, first 2 months of 2020. The first half of 2020 was only very different to practically all previous interim periods due to the corona lockdown effects. People had to stay at home, and car usage went down, as well as the demand for charging. Overall, Fastned sold 54% more electricity in the first half of 2020 than in the first half of 2019. This clearly shows that the Autowende is a very strong trend that largely overshadows the effects of the corona lockdown. As mentioned in our Q1 trading update, Fastned did postpone the construction of some stations, partly to increase its cash buffer and partly due to the logistical bottlenecks. As a consequence, we have only commissioned two new stations in the first half of 2020, but we currently have 14 stations in various stages of construction, which will be delivered in the second half of this year. On the 1st of July, we announced the acquisition of the fast charging company of Mr. Green. Niels will elaborate on this transaction later in this call. Yesterday, we announced that Fastned raised over 13 million euros with the issue of new bonds. In addition, investors have extended 2.7 million euros worth of bonds from earlier issues, bringing the total issued amount to more than 16 million euro. All newly issued bonds will mature in July 2025. This, of course, is great news. On the one hand, this allows us to continue to keep a significant cash buffer in light of the uncertainty with regards to corona, while on the other hand, we can continue to invest in our network. I already mentioned that we currently have 14 stations under development. A number of these stations will be realized in Belgium and Switzerland, adding two more operating countries to our network in the second half of 2020. All in all, I'm very proud to present these results, which are the consequence of people continuing to move and deliver on our mission while sitting at home in the attic. I do now hand the word to Niels Kortahls-Altus, our CCO. Niels?
Thank you, Michiel, and good morning, everybody. Let's move over to slide six. Corona has had an impact on Fastned and all markets around us. Car sales have been reduced significantly in the first half of the year due to factories being shut down, as well as difficulties in delivering cars to customers as countries went into lockdown. However, as you can see in this graph, deliveries of electric vehicles have actually shown significant growth in Western Europe over the first 5 months of the year. This is still ahead of the increased incentives for electric vehicles as a result of green recovery packages. So if you look at the graph, the yellow bars are the electric vehicle sales, the gray ones are non-electric vehicle sales. The result of this is that the number of electric vehicles on the road keep growing rapidly, as you can see in the blue line chart in the Netherlands as an example. And it's this growing stock of electric vehicles on the road that we cater for. Moving over to slide 7. To keep up with growing demand for charging requires continued investments to expand the capacity of our network. The pictures on this slide show what that looks like. Therefore, and despite of Corona, we have continued investments in our network in the Netherlands, Germany, United Kingdom, Belgium, Switzerland, and in France. We continue to work on developing our pipeline of locations, resulting in new locations being signed, new construction plans, application of new building permits, the procurement of new grid connections, and more. As a result of Corona lockdown measures, and Michiel already mentioned this, we had to delay the construction of new stations, resulting in only 2 new stations being built in the first half of the year. We'll be getting back on track again with 2 new stations already built in July, and we'll actually be opening another one tomorrow, and more to come in the next few months, including our first stations in Belgium and Switzerland. In addition, during the first half of the year, we increased capacity at many existing stations, adding more and faster chargers. A total of 17 HPC chargers were added in the first half of the year, and more have been added since then. We will continue these upgrades in the coming months, adding more capacity and providing our customers with a better customer experience. 50% of Fastnet stations now have HPC chargers, and it just goes to show faster is better, both for Fastnet and our customers. Let's go to slide 8. Another way that we've grown the future capacity of our network has been through the acquisition of the fast charging network of Mr. Green, which we announced on the 1st of July, and which we paid for via the issue of new depositary receipts, resulting in around a 1% dilution to certificate holders, but adding 16 key sites to our network. And this is one way in which we use our listing on Euronext. So as said, we obtained 16 key sites directly along the highway in the western and populous part of the Netherlands. And to give you an indication of just how good these sites are, 10 of the 16 sites actually get more or the same traffic compared to our current top stations. If you look at the map, as shown on the slide, there's green markers and there's red markers. The green markers show sites where there's already a solitary 50 kilowatt charger, and the red sites, there's not yet any infrastructure. But for both sites, the same applies, and that is that we aim to redevelop these sites as soon as possible to build large Fastnet stations. And this requires new WBR permits from the Ministry of Infrastructure, new building permits, and bigger grid connections. And it will probably take 1 to 2 years before we can do that. We're working hard on that as we speak. Let's move on to slide number 9. We keep investing in future capacity because the market is accelerating. Corona has had an impact on Fastnet and on markets around us, but it will not stop the mega trend towards electrification of mobility. It looks like it actually may accelerate this development as governments deploy green economic recovery packages. Moreover, Tesla is now the world's most valuable car manufacturer, and all car makers are increasing their efforts to go electric. It is clear that electric is the future and that the future has started. So the trend is our friend, and with just around 1% of EVs being electric in our key markets, we are very much in a blue ocean of opportunity. And this penetration of electric vehicles is driven by the 5 trends as shown on the left side of the slide. So just briefly, the first one is government regulation and support. And as mentioned, we see this increasing as a result of green Corona recovery packages. The second one is the increasing supply of electric vehicles. I'll discuss that in a minute. The third one is cheaper batteries that last longer. To give you an indication, producers like Tesla and CATL are now talking about 1 million mile batteries, and that is surely a sign of things to come. Factor four is growing consumer preference. People like electric cars. They love the acceleration and the modern feel. Electric cars make the internal combustion engines feel old. And last but not least, the increasing charging speed and charging infrastructure gives people the freedom to drive an electric car anywhere. Just look at the road trips that people are making, as you can see on social media. Actually, myself, I drove to the south of France and back a few weeks ago, and it's just possible. It's not something that you cannot do with an electric car. So let's move to slide number 10 and deep dive into that second factor of the increasing supply of electric vehicles. One important bottleneck in the growth of EVs has been the supply of them. And we have seen waiting times of up to a year for some models. Watchdog organization Transport and Environment made inventory of the expected production capacity of traditional car makers and came to a fourfold increase in production in the next 2 years. This is actually excluding Tesla and some other manufacturers that are producing exclusively electric vehicles. The conclusion is that we will see a surge of electric vehicles coming our way, and with that, a huge increase in the demand for charging, including fast charging. Moving on to slide 11. People will charge at home, at the office, but increasingly also en route via fast charging. As you can see in the graph, the share of fast charging as a percentage of total charging has been steadily growing, showing the relevance of fast charging for drivers of fully electric vehicles. At the end of 2019, Fastned delivered around 7% of the energy need of Fastned quarterly customers in the Netherlands, as shown by the yellow line, and around 3% of the energy need of all fully electric vehicles in the Netherlands, as shown by the green line. And this actually represents our share of battery, as you can call it, which is increasing. And this is driven by more people that start to drive electric vehicles that cannot charge at home or at the office. And also people that start to do more of their electric cars. They drive longer distances and they just charge when the battery runs empty. Moreover, the availability of more and faster charging infrastructure makes charging more convenient. Instead of driving around looking for a parking place with a charger, people just park their car anywhere and they charge on the way home. Based on these and other drivers, McKinsey expects that fast charging in Europe will grow from 6% in 2020 to 32% in 2030. Which brings me to the last slide, or my last slide anyway, slide 12. The combination of a rapidly growing stock of fully electric vehicles and the growing share of fast charging will result in a highly exponential growth in the demand for fast charging across Europe. Let's look at the Netherlands and Germany. At the end of last year, there were around 100,000 electric vehicles in the Netherlands, and an estimated 8% of the energy need of those cars was done via fast charging. The Dutch government aims for 1.9 million fully electric vehicles in 2030, increasing the electric vehicle car stock 19-fold. At the same time, fast charging is expected to represent 32% of total charging volume, as indicated by McKinsey, increasing 4-fold from today. The multiplication of both factors results in a 78-fold increase in fast charging demand in the Netherlands in the next 10 years. And mind you, that 78-fold increase would just represent 20% of cars in the Netherlands being fully electric. So at that stage, we would still have 80% to go. In Germany, the expected increase will be even bigger. And this is represented by the green line in the graph. The German government aims for 4.25 million fully electric cars in 2030, increasing the electric vehicle car stock 31-fold. If we apply the same 32% fast charging as expected by McKinsey, this will result in a 5-fold increase from today. The multiplication of both factors result in a 170-fold increase in the fast charging market in Germany in the next 10 years. And in Germany, this would actually not even represent 10% of the total car stock being fully electric at that stage. So in Germany, that would still mean 90% of the car market to go. So the indicated 75 to 170-fold increase, as shown in this graph, will still represent an early stage of this market, which is true to the extreme for where we are today. We are just getting started, and when one assumes that electric vehicles are the future, it is evident that there will be a big market for charging, and part of that charging will be fast. One can debate the exact percentage of fast charging, but the market will be substantial, and Facet is very well positioned to capitalize on this development. I will now hand over to my colleague and CFO, Victor van Dijk, who will take you through the results of the first half of the year.
Thank you, Niels, and good morning to everyone on the call. From my side, on slide 13, I would like to start with saying that last time we spoke for the 2019 figures, I said that we were starting to prove the business case, while only few of the vehicles on the roads were electric. Now I can say that we are continuing to improve profitability despite very challenging markets, which is very, very positive. I believe this will set the stage for profitability growth when traffic returns to more normalized levels over the coming time, and electric vehicle growth continues its very strong growth path. In the next slide, I would like to discuss Fastnet's key revenue and profitability drivers and update you on where we stand on them. On slide 13, we show the unit metrics of our average station and what drives them. And the latter is very simple. The number of charging sessions is effectively fully driven by the number of electric vehicles driving by, which you can see in the left graph. As from 2014, so that's a 6-year streak, any increase in electric vehicles on the road led to a similar increase in charging sessions. We expect this relationship to continue in a similar fashion going forward. In January and February this year, after the December surge in FEV sales in the Netherlands and pre-corona lockdowns, the average Fastnet station facilitated over 20 charging sessions per day. This equates to an 11% time-based utilization. When we look at profitability of our stations in the table on the right, we see that annualized revenue per station was €69,000 in January plus February 2020. Gross margin was 82%. Using that, we get to 57,000 gross profit per station. With operating cost per station of €33,000 annualized, this leads to an operational EBITDA of €24,000 per station. Then with an initial investment per station of €307,000, this leads to a return on invested capital of almost 8%. As mentioned, with over 20 charging sessions per day, time-based utilization was 11% in those first 2 months. We think that the network can run at an average 30% utilization, based on the utilization of our top stations that we've seen in those months. That is around 60 charging sessions per station per day, with a current average of close to 3 charges per station. This means that sales can almost triple within the existing capacity. Now, if we use the same revenue and cost structure as we had for January and February and make the same calculation in the table on the right, return on invested capital would be more than 30% at a 30% utilization, which is obviously very attractive. Slide 14. So we've seen that the prime growth driver for Fastnet sales and revenues are the number of electric vehicles driving by. Further growth drivers are the charge speed and obviously the number of stations operational. Charge speeds have and will continue to increase strongly due to battery advancements and further installation of faster chargers, like Niels explained. Early electric vehicle models like the Renault Zoe or the Nissan Leaf could do up to around 40 kilowatts. Newer models like the Volkswagen ID3 can do up to 100 kilowatts, while the Tesla Model 3 can do up to 180 kilowatts, and the Porsche Taycan can do up to 270 kilowatts. but that's multiples of what we saw in the early years. This has resulted in an over 20% annual growth in charge fees over the last 5 years, which translates into more sales per session. This is people tend to charge the same amount of time still, at slightly more than 20 minutes, which has been very stable over these years. We expect the charge speed to continue to grow strongly. Car manufacturer Kia, for instance, announced that their new electric vehicle in 2021, so next year, will have the ability to charge up to 350 kilowatts, which is a real step change, especially for mid-market models. With this, charging becomes similar to filling up your petrol tank at a gas station. And this means that charge speed is a very important growth driver. Even if we were at a maximum time-based capacity, sales can still grow at double-digit percentages. And then on the right-hand side, obviously the number of stations is an important driver of sales and revenues as well. The more stations we open with the same average sales per station, the more our revenues grow. What we show here as well is the market penetration in the Dutch market. This is the percentage of the total amount of electric vehicles owned by Dutch population that charge at least once per quarter at Fastnet. Pre-corona, this was close to 40%, coming from around 10% in 2015. This shows that the more stations we open, the higher our market penetration. With the corona lockdowns, market penetration has decreased, simply because those electric vehicles stood in the driveways of people and they weren't using them and some of them weren't fast charging. We saw a strong reduction in unique customers in April following the lockdowns, after which we saw a recovery in visitors similar to the recovery we see in sales that Michiel discussed. Slide 15, please. So when you multiply the number of sessions per station, the kilowatt hour per session, and the number of stations that I just discussed, you get to Fastnet's overall sales and revenues. As Niels shows, there's a huge growth curve for electric vehicles expected in the coming decade. Or decades, I should say. Based on government targets, cost reductions, and technology advancements for electric vehicles. Such growth in electric vehicles underpin Fastnet revenue growth. And then additionally, the growth in kilowatt hour per session and the number of stations are extra growth drivers, as explained. On the right-hand side, you see that currently we have spare capacity in our network, as we have been securing locations and building a network ahead of the market. This means that we have the ability to grow sales in our current capacity. As to the last half year, both revenue and utilization were strongly affected by the lockdowns, as Michiel already explained, and are currently recovering. In the last weeks of July, sales are back at more than 70% of February sales and are showing steady improvements. This gets us to our P&L on slide 16, where we see that increasing revenues are feeding into increasing profitability. After the surge in electric vehicle sales in December 2019 in the Netherlands, we had record sales in January and February. Run rate annual revenues related to charging were close to 8 million, again, growing faster than the growth in electric vehicles. I mentioned the reduction in sales post the lockdowns and the current recovery to above 70% of February sales. Nevertheless, revenues related to charging in the first half year grew by more than 50% year over year, showing the big trend in electric vehicle charging. We estimate that the revenues could have at least been 1.3 million euro higher and EBITDA and profit 1 million higher if it weren't for Corona and the lockdowns. This is assuming no growth from the mentioned January and February run rate, which is conservative in our view. Following this, we estimate that operational EBITDA could have been at least 1.3 million euro versus 84,000 last year, showing the increasing profitability potential and the operational leverage in our station. Growing revenues feed directly into growing profitability. Network operation costs per station were up 15% versus the first half of 2019 due to more charges and grid capacity per station. More charges and grid capacity obviously result in more revenue potential per station. Network expansion costs were slightly up year over year. I think it's good to mention that current cash levels, including the bond issue, which we closed yesterday, will guide us well into 2022. Overall, this half year, we have seen an increasing profitability in a challenging market, which is a good sign for when traffic recovers to more normalized levels over the coming time and electric vehicle growth continues its very strong growth path. I'll leave it at that. We would be very happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your line is unmuted locally and you will be advised when to ask your question. So star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we do have a question coming through from the line of Mark Hesseling, calling from ING. Mark, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Morning, guys. My first question is actually on the rollout plans that you now have. You mentioned just before that you're expecting to do more. Could you give some more detail, and then also on those rollouts, what kind of cost level do you currently see for adding a new station on average or expanding capacity on the current stations?
Mark, Michiel here. I think if you look at the sort of the guidance on cost level to start with that, I think we see sort of a second generation of HPCs coming to the market, and that improves basically the spending that we have when we build stations. So I think if you look at sort of the cost per station, I think it's been with the introduction of HPCs probably closer to 600,000 per station, and now it's going down again a bit, like to 450 sort of average, I would guess, depending on the site, because in the end that is very dependent on the region where you build it, what the cost of grid connections are in that region. If we look at the rollout plans, I think we mentioned we're currently building 14 stations. That is all that's confirmed. How we're going to scale up in the coming months, that's to be seen.
But is it likely that you will do that, given that you see the recovery in the little bit improvement versus the initial COVID-19 reaction? You raised some money. Is it likely that you're going to earmark some more of your cash to roll out?
Yeah, I think it's probably too early to say, because I think if we look at sort of the bonds raise that we did, and we closed that yesterday. So you can assume that we're currently discussing and debating how exactly to plan for the future. Of course, also given the fact that I think the whole economy, companies in general are looking, especially those in e-mobility or mobility, tourism, how is Corona going to develop in the coming months? Will we see a second lockdown or maybe even a third lockdown? So we'll have to see how we plan for that as well.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks. The other one is on the trend that you see throughout the quarter. You say that you're at a run rate level of 70% versus February. If I look at active clients, it also seems to be down around 30%. So is that the connection, the fact that you simply have less active clients, or do you see also dynamics in how much the normal average client is charging? Is that also a bit less because they drive less?
We see it's a bit of both, indeed. We see less This is Victor. Hi, Mark. We see less active clients simply because some people just don't drive to work these days. We see the kilowatt hours per session actually at similar levels, maybe slightly less, but only slightly. And then we see that of the clients that do charge, they charge slightly less per quarter. And slightly a lower number of sessions per quarter. That's all, yeah, and that all adds up to the development in sales that we discussed.
Okay, and if you look at the active clients that you see at the end of the quarter, has it been lower? Did you see already clients coming back, or what kind of dynamics are in there?
It's very similar to the sort of path you saw with our revenues. So we saw a steep decline in end of March and April, and then a steady recovery from that. And we probably, we said we at sales we are 70% of February levels, and our clients are similar levels, I would say.
Okay, thanks. And the final question is on if you look at the run rate revenues that you have today, and the cost level that you have today, you indicate there without Corona it would have been a million, a bit more than a million higher on operational EBITDA. That would bring you almost close to break even on the underlying EBITDA number. But what kind of run rate are you at the end of the half year?
Of last half year or next?
No, so if you give like the okay at the end of the half year, the revenue level is at 70% of February.
Yeah.
If it would continue like this today, what is your EBITDA number? What is the cash burn that you then have?
Yeah, we don't give specific guidance on that. But I think it's quite easy to calculate. If you take the 70% that we indicate where we are today, the resulting profitability levels can be easily calculated from this overview.
Yeah, I'm not sure because if I'm correct, you also took some temporary measures to bring down cost and is also given that initially you had a very low investment on the rollout and now you're speeding that up a little bit. So there are actually quite some moving parts. So I think for me,
So the reductions were on CAPEX, so postponement or cancelling of part of the CAPEX. I think in terms of cost levels, I had the network operation costs. They're fairly stable, and also the network expansion costs. We keep the teams operational.
So in that sense, you don't see much change there. So I think I think what Victor basically is saying is if you would take 70% of the and you put that on the run rate revenue of January, February, and compare that with the cost levels, then I think you're there.
So that is a good indication. So there is no other
big
change. Yeah. Okay, clear.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because I think that's what you're looking for, right?
I just want to get a feel like with the current cash that you have, what kind of opportunity you have for expansion and what kind of cash do you need on hand to run the operations for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe a final thing, so these are is updated until June. You get your numbers obviously daily, and we're at the end of July. Is the improvement that you saw, did it continue in July?
The 70% we mentioned, that's also mentioned in the message, is actually the last weeks of July. So we wanted to give a timely update on that. So that and that 70% is higher than in June.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Any other questions?
We have received some messages.
Oh, apologies, please go ahead.
Yeah, we have received some messages over the mail. Shall we get into that? Victor, you want to start up with that?
Yeah. Yeah, so indeed we got some questions via the mail. First one is, can you discuss the effect of the corona crisis on the first half year on the basis of charge sessions per month and kilowatt hour per session? It's a bit similar to Mark's question. We report charging sessions per quarter. First quarter was 176,000. Second quarter was 97,000. Part of the first quarter and the whole of the second quarter was affected by the lockdowns. And we see a gradual recovery of these charging sessions in line with the sales recovery we mentioned. And as said before, the kilowatt hour per session decreased very, very slightly. So people, when they charge at a similar level as before. Another question is, Tesla had a positive result in Q2 thanks to the selling of credits. How important is selling of credits to Fastnet? We actually sell bio credits, and they are a helpful part of our revenues indeed. And we expect it to continue in the future. And it accounts for a little over 10% of our revenues. And then a follow-on question is the sale of credits volatile, or can you plan it well with regards to amount and price? We can plan it well. We tend to sell each quarter, and we're able to do so. Prices were down during the peak of the lockdowns, with less demand from the oil companies. And we do see that prices are recovering. And then the next question maybe for Niels is, why do the European Union and municipalities find it necessary to allocate community money into charge poles with low charge speeds, while private parties like Tesla, Fastnet and Ionity already offer countrywide networks?
Yeah, so this question is should be addressed to those parties. But in general, we can say that I think all stimulus of charging infrastructure is good in itself. And we also see, as part of the green recovery measures, we see more incentives for fast charging coming. So we hope we can benefit from that in the future. So it's not only slow charging, but it's increasingly so maybe also also fast charging, and that will help the whole market.
Great.
So moving on to the next question.
I think maybe if I can add a little bit to it, I think what's important as well is that these municipalities, they see currently that, that electric vehicles and let's say a part of the market has still quite relatively low charge speeds. So yeah, before basically an electric vehicle can charge like going for petrol, they feel need to support and make it easier for electric vehicles to be recharged at home as well, because charging takes long. But the question is, will they continue to do that? I think that's the main question with this trend towards faster charging.
Another question we got in is, does Fastnet get support from the Dutch government in terms of COVID-related support? And the answer is we are discussing possibilities. Not all COVID schemes are applicable to us or that interesting. What we can say is that we do get support from the now so-called NOW scheme, which is basically work time reduction scheme, to a limited extent, and that's shown in the H1 report. So that's the answer to that one. And maybe the next question for Niels, what is the status of the Fastnet station integration in the Tesla navigation system?
Yeah, so currently Tesla in their cars guides people to their destination, including charging stops. And this currently only includes superchargers, which is Tesla's proprietary network. But recently, Tesla has also added some information about fast charging stations and other charging options. They're not included in the navigation, but you can find them in the navigation. So it doesn't route you there, but you can see them. We are in discussion with Tesla about also including the Fastnet station there. They're working on it. And from a driver perspective, it would always obviously be very logical that such a route planning would guide you through any station that would be the most logical place to charge. So from a customer experience point of view, it would make sense to include all sites that have a certain quality level, certain speed in that navigation. Just like we're used to with petrol cars, petrol cars will show you all petrol stations and not just petrol stations of a single brand. We're in discussion with Tesla about this, and we definitely hope to see that in the future. Then there's a question about concessions or the duration of concessions. I think it relates to the Mr. Green acquisition. And the question is, how long will these concession rights last for? They're actually similar or the same as the rest of our highway location in Netherlands. And that means that they will run for 15 years after issuance of the WBR permit. And that is the initial WBR permit. So they don't all expire at the same time, but 15 years after that initial permit was given out. On average, that results currently in around 11 years of the concession remaining over those 16 sites.
Yeah. Next question, and I have to say we're getting a lot of questions. Thank you for that. So, but it also means that we're probably won't be able to answer all of them. Apologies for that. But let's go through the next couple of questions. So the next question is, how will battery improvements affect Fastnet results as charging might be less frequent on a per vehicle basis?
I think I can say something about it if I am still here. I think the question with batteries is, what we see is batteries are improving on all angles. So batteries are becoming cheaper. They are more energy dense, so you can put more energy in them, and they can charge faster. So on the one hand, they enable the use case of charging as going for gas, which enables the use case of people living in apartment dwellings, etc., cities, to basically use their vehicles they're used to from a petrol vehicle. On the other hand, and that definitely is true as well, because they hold more energy, if people can charge at home, they might make less use of fast charging infrastructure. I think in when we look at our session sizes, I think larger batteries will lead to larger session sizes and maybe less session sizes per vehicle because they need it less often. But when they charge, it's more.
Yeah, so bigger batteries also allow for faster charging. And as Victor also mentioned, people tend to charge for around 20 minutes, so they just charge more in that time. And this is especially true also for vehicles that are driven a lot, like taxis and business drivers that go for longer distances. They need fast charging to use their vehicle in that way.
Yeah.
So this actually enables them to drive an electric vehicle like they're used to with their ICE vehicle, just expanding the market.
Yeah. The next question is, how do you foresee the future payments for fast charging? Will it be per kilowatt hour used, or will it be a flat rate per session, like it is used to for some German stations?
We believe it will be per kilowatt hour. We have in the past also had flat rate fees, and we also see it in the market. But what tends to happen is that people really optimize for that. So you get the really heavy users in those payment plans. So those type of payment plans tend to self-destruct, if I may use that title. what we're used to with petrol is that we pay per liter, and that makes sense. And I think it makes sense for our business as well to just pay per kilowatt hour, just as we do at home. So we haven't seen these schemes at home either, you know, that you pay a flat rate for electricity. In that sense, it's actually quite different from, for example, mobile telephony, where a single call doesn't actually cost anything. It's just about utilization of the network, as opposed to supplying real kilowatt hours or liters of fuel. So coming back to the question, yes, we definitely expect to stick to pricing per kilowatt hour, although there can be price plans linked to that. Then there's a question that somebody visited one of our chargers, to be specific, Hoge Kwel, and the person noticed that Shell's building fast chargers at this site. How do we see this at more locations, and how much risk is exposed to Fastnet? Do you want to take that one, Michiel?
Yeah, I can say something about it. I think in general, if we look at the market as a whole, I think it's good to see that many more parties are starting to invest in building up charging infrastructure. So I think that is proving that there's a demand for fast charging and that there's a business case for doing it. And I think it's really encouraging to see companies investing in that. I think if we're looking at the case of a specific Fastnet site, of course it's not good for the energy transition if we build double infrastructure. And this has been also discussed with the Ministry of Infrastructure in this regard. And this is, of course, let's say a specific case which we're currently working on and trying to find ways to ensure that the buildup of double infrastructure does not happen.
The next question is it possible that EV owners learn from the lockdown to solve their charging needs differently than before the lockdown? How large do you expect this effect to be negatively impacting Fastnet? I think there, in general, we still see a lack of charging infrastructure in general. So people tend to charge mostly at home or from the office, like we said. But there is going to be a need for fast charging. And actually, that need for fast charging is growing. So we do see this as a temporary effect. And in the long run, also as Niels explained before, fast charging, the percentage of fast charging as a percentage of the whole charging needs will go up. Next question is, will the Mr. Green stations be migrated to Fastnet stations? Niels talked about that. Indeed, we will migrate them to Fastnet stations over the next 1 to 2 years because it takes time to redevelop those locations. Next question is, do you think the stock price is at a fair price? I think that is not for us to answer, but for the investors to answer. So we cannot really comment on that. Another question about COVID support, we already answered that. Another question is an interesting one. Will Fastnet offer the possibility to lease electric cars? Just like Mr. Green in the near future.
Niels here. No, we're not actually contemplating that angle. Fastnet is a charging company, and we'll stick to that and sort of adjacent services. So we could look into things like shops. We have locations where we're looking into that. But leasing cars is actually quite far away from where we are today, so we will not be doing that.
Okay, next question is, you mentioned new stations in Belgium and Switzerland. Any new stations in Germany ready for building, reopening?
Yeah, there's definitely stations in Germany in the planning. One, I think, is actually open up in the web. It's Kreuzhilden, which is a location which we will build in cooperation with Tesla and Bakkerij Schuren, on a very, 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 very big motorway crossing in the Ruhrgebiet Rhine area. So that's just an example, but yeah, definitely there's new constructions going on.
Then the next question is, can you talk to what you see with demand for charging at home, work, and public slow chargers? And how do you see this developing in the future? Is the business case for public slow charging challenging?
With regards to how people get energy in their car, because that's the essence of this question, we believe that people that can charge at home will definitely do so if they have the opportunity. But not everybody has the opportunity to charge at their private driveway. So there's other options to charge, such as at home, or sorry, at the office, and people will do that where possible as well. But if we look at public charging infrastructure, so people that do not have access to these private options, then there's a question, what is the most logical way to provide public infrastructure? And what we do see is that scaling up slow charging in public areas, as we see with charging poles along the streets, is actually quite difficult to scale because for each pole, you need a permit, you need a grid connection, and you essentially can charge one car a day. While if you build fast charging stations, you do the same work, you get a permit and the grid connection, and you can charge up to hundreds of cars a day. That is more scalable, but also because the asset utilization is much higher, it actually provides for a better business model in our opinion. So as part of the question, it was asked, is the business case for public slow charging challenging? We believe it is, but we will see how things progress in the future. It's definitely challenging at the prices that we currently see, so maybe like 35 cents a kilowatt hour. If the price would move up, maybe that would definitely improve the business case. But then the question if it's actually attractive to people, if there's also a lot of fast charging infrastructure in cities and on routes.
I think if I might add to it, I think I'm clear from the analysis that we did. What we see is that the price of slow charging, of public slow charging in cities, should actually be higher than the price of where there's a business case for fast charging to start to see any sort of profitability level on public charging. So it's the question there is mostly like, if you want to roll it out as a business, can you ask a premium for charging slow at home? Then you could continue a rollout, but otherwise it will be very difficult.
And street charging.
Yeah, and streets, so public street charging.
We get the message that the operator has another question.
Yes, we do have another question coming through from the line of Mark Hesselink, calling from ING. Mark, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I had a follow-up question. You talked about it a little bit, but just the competitive landscape that you're seeing, that the actions that your competition is taking, did it change materially over the last half year?
I would say not fundamentally. We do see more activity, but that is also I think a reflection of more cars being on the road. And I think in the end, I talked about the sort of 170-fold increase in fast charging infrastructure or volume that we expect to see just in the next 10 years. And that's just with the 32% for fast charging. If you look at the whole charging demand, it is going to grow so rapidly with all these cars coming on the road that a lot needs to be done to actually get the energy into these cars. So it may not actually be very long, especially if car manufacturers really start producing cars at high volumes, which is exactly what we expect. It may not actually be long before people, there will actually be an infrastructure crunch because people will have to start looking for where they can charge. So a lot is needed, and if other parties invest in infrastructure as well, we believe that's a good thing actually.
You can also see it in the numbers. If we look pre-Corona, because Corona, of course, is a difficult thing to analyze, but But if you look at the January and February growth, you compare it to the growth of electric cars, and you see that Fastnet again outgrows the market. You can't outgrow the market if the competition would eat up all the market.
Okay, thanks. The second question is on the supermarket pilot. Can you give an update on that one? How are those running, especially before COVID-19? And is it something that you will do more in the future?
Yeah, I can reflect on that very briefly because we have, I think, 1 minute left in the call. The pilots are progressing nicely. We haven't commented on that specifically, so I'm not at liberty to do that here. But generally speaking, we see that there's definitely a case for fast charging in cities, just as along highways. And the pilot that you mentioned is one form of providing fast charging in cities. So we have expanded the number of those sites, and they're contributing very nicely.
Yeah, I think sort of the Rewe sites as well. We can say that we're developing those sites and we're progressing there. So we'll see that be realized probably later this year. So we'll continue as well that angle in Germany.
All right. Thank you, Mark, for your questions, and thank you everyone for your questions. This comes to the end of our call. And again, thanks for all the questions, and we hope to touch base later on. I give the word to the operator to end the call.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets. Hosts, please stay connected and await further instruction.
Mm-hmm.